Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout the Professor, Jimmy Melville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
I recognize thee, beast. I know thy evil ways. Thou shalt not deceive me, beast. For I say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Guys, I had sixpence for every time I've heard that.
For thou hast deceived me before. Oh, yes. Thou crept into my favored mind in Tulsa and made me bribe those tax officials 73 times. And thou did trick me in that motel room in Memphis when thou crept into my trousers and made my private parts call to me saying, Daddy, she may only be 14, but she's got the needs and the yearnings of a woman. But I, the Reverend Elmer Butch, founder of the Pay Per Prayer Salvation Channel, and chaplain to the National Rifleman's Association, I see through thy trickery now, because I know that I am not in hell, because my place is in heaven. For I've always walked in the ways of Jesus.
Well, I know Jesus quite well, actually, Elmer. Spent a fair bit of time with him in the wilderness, and I don't think he would want you in heaven, because, let's face it, your ways did tend to differ from his in certain key areas.
In what areas?
Well, for instance, I could be wrong, but I don't think Jesus would have lynched those Mexicans. Certainly not on the grounds that their sombreros were at a subversive angle.
Thou cannot fool me with that serpent tongue, beast, for I can see through
thy tricks. Elmer, look, I really haven't got time for all this faff about whether I'm a mirage or an apparition or whatever. So just to speed things along a bit, I'm going to make your pubic hair burst into flames, right? There you go. You got a burning bush now, just like Moses.
Your most devoted demon is here, my master, ready to undertake whatever task your wonderfulness deems fit to bestow upon my rank and unworthy person.
You know, Scumspawn, you've taken the art of grovelling onto a totally new plane.
But thank you, my lord, my inspiration, my genius.
Yeah, all right, we haven't got time for that. Now, a few jobs for you. I want you to take Elmer over there and his pyrotechnic pubes and stash him somewhere extraordinarily unpleasant, okay? And once you've done that, I want you to look after another new admission, this little fella here.
What? This little shiny box on wheels?
I am not a shiny box on wheels. I'm the most advanced example of artificial intelligence ever manufactured.
Is that counting, Carol Vorderman?
I'm a rational, infinitely complex machine that is perpetually reprogramming itself at a rate of 12 million megabytes per picosecond. So suck on that, Bill Gates.
How's he ended up down here? What did he do?
Oh, he ran amok during a rehearsal for Tomorrow's World. Electrocuted Peter Snow. although it was a while before anyone realised that. They just thought he was flailing his arms a bit more than that.
Right, and how do you want me to torment him?
Oh, I don't want him tormented. No, I want you to show him round. I'm appointing him as my new assistant.
What? We can't recruit staff from among the damned.
Hey, nobody tells Satan what to do, okay? I can see your hidden agenda here, Scumspawn. No, forget. I've told you a million times you're not cut out to be my deputy because, A, you're too soft, and B, you have the IQ of an aubergine. Stop that bottom lip wobbling. All right? Show him round, okay?
If you say so, Your Majesty.
Okay. Oi, and don't forget Elmer, all right? I want to hear him sizzle, okay? If you like, you can use those especially hot coals, you know? The ones with Jonathan Aitken's name on. Only you probably get his daughter standing them, but anyway. Where was I?
Ah, there you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Oh, you've missed a really interesting arrival, Cross.
Now, look, I can't find Thomas.
Really?
You've hidden him away somewhere. You're frightened I'm going to win our bet about whether I can prove he's got a conscience.
Oh, yeah, because I live in fear of that happening. Now, you just got to meet this next admission, because I tell you, he's going to be a real hoot. I must get some oil on that. Stand, mortal. You are Wazim al-Habib?
I am. Tell me, have I passed into the afterlife?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, joy of joys! Then I have accomplished my mission. I have struck a blow against the infidel, and I have martyred myself in the cause of the one true God. So, where are the maidens?
The maidens?
Yes, yes. All martyrs of the true God are greeted in heaven by beautiful maidens who wash them in oils and perfumes. It is written. So where are my maidens?
I'm afraid there are no maidens here, old chap. And this isn't heaven.
Then what is this place?
Well, I'm something of a clue. For instance, do you notice anything distinctive about my appearance?
Well, you have hooves and horns and... Oh, no, this can't be happening.
I'm afraid it can.
But this is not possible. Did I not lay down my life for the one true religion? Did I not pack a lorry full of gelignite and drive it at high speed into the infidel's top security military base? I did. I remember the explosion.
Oh, yeah. No, there was an explosion. But it wasn't exactly a top security military base that you blew up. It was more of a... Well, it was a hairdresser's.
A hairdresser's?
Yes.
I blew up a hairdresser's. I thought it was too easy. I remember thinking now, there are no guards. There are no guards, no fences. Just a red and white stripy pole. I suppose I should have realized. If I hadn't closed my eyes for the last 50 meters.
Was this hairdresser's close to a military base, then?
Nowhere near.
Because I usually get my wife to map read while I drive, but the great leader said martyrs weren't allowed to take their wives along. Were there any fatalities?
Just you.
So, did I achieve anything?
Well, you generated a lot of extra paperwork for the insurance company. But apart from that, zilch. Oh, no, he's blacked out. You see, deep down, all fundamentalists are big wussies, you know.
Oh, the shots just hit him, poor chap.
No, that's not fair. I wanted to have more fun with him. I've got this great torment planned for him, right? He's going to experience eternal circumcision. Performed by an origami artist. Yeah. Should be extraordinarily painful and yet strangely decorative. In fact, I think I might try it out on Thomas first.
Yes, and talking of Thomas, you still haven't told me where he is.
Oh, I've billeted him with another of our new arrivals. An old friend. Yes, they should have a lot to catch up on.
I know what he's up to, Mr. Frobisher.
Oh, yes.
He thinks that by putting you with me, he can torment me with guilt about you committing thingy. Well, I refuse to feel guilty. You chose to kill yourself because you were facing trial for fraud. We all have to take responsibility for our actions. That's why I ended up here with these scorpions in my underpants.
Oh, I don't blame you, Mr. Crimp. I let you exploit me. I was just a silly little secretary who fell in love with her boss. I was hopelessly naive.
You certainly were. You should have read those documents before signing them.
You told me not to.
Oh, I see. And if I told you to stick your head in the oven, I suppose you'd just go right on and then... Okay, bad example.
I was mad about you. You've no idea how miserable it feels to worship someone who barely acknowledges your existence.
Tell me about it.
Who are you?
My name is Scumspawn, archdemon, denizen of darkness, and personal doormat to his satanic majesty. The fat git impaled on the end of my trident is the Reverend Elmer Butt.
Hold it!
And this glorified toaster is my master's latest choice as his assistant.
What, this little shiny box on wheels?
What's the lick, you big pink chimp?
Oh, no, a talking computer. I hate those. I had one in my car. It was always going on at me. Your speed is excessive. Your speed is excessive. It's distracting. If you ask me, that's what caused the crash. Last bloody voice I heard, you have hit a tree. What's that noise? What are you doing?
I'm scanning your chemistry, and like all humans, your design is extremely basic. You are made up of 18% carbon, 10% oxygen, 3% nitrogen, 1% potassium, and 68% bullshit. Computer joke.
So, tell me, can your senses detect the thoughts going through someone's brain?
Affirmative.
What? Any creature's brain?
Even right down as far as the tiniest microscopic level. So you're also safe, goat ass. Continue the door.
Oh. He's coming round.
I have failed. I have failed the great leader.
Wasn't this great leader you keep mentioning?
Yes, he is a most devout and holy man. He chooses which of our young warriors are pure enough to be blessed with martyrdom.
By driving lorries full of gelignite.
Yes.
So he never actually drives any of these lorries himself, then?
No. He's always saying he'd love to, but he gets car sick.
What rotten luck.
Presumably, if I had successfully carried out my mission against the infidel, not the hairdressers, I would now be in paradise. That's right, isn't it? With the maidens and stuff, as promised by the great leader. The great leader talks a lot of bollocks, doesn't he?
Give that man a coconut. I can confirm there are no terrorist bombers in heaven. Apart from the ones who grow old enough to become world statesmen, of course. A bit of white hair can do if it... Why is he staring vacantly into space like that?
Well, he's stunned, isn't he?
Oh, and well, that accounts for this posh spice impression, does it?
The poor chap's just discovered that his whole existence was built around a delusion. But he's been conned, basically.
He wasn't conned. People opt for their delusion of choice because there's something in it for them. I mean, he was perfectly happy to blow everyone to kingdom come as long as there were maidens on special offer, wasn't he? Oh, and here come the tears. It's all aboard the self-pity express.
I am not weeping for myself. I weep for my brother.
Your brother?
How's this area here?
This special enclosure is for those individuals who used to take part in hunts. Hence the sound of the jolly hunting horn being blown by the gigantic fox.
Oh, my God, it's chasing those poor people and tearing them to pieces.
No, don't worry. They enjoy it, really.
Does Satan devise these punishments?
Yes, where possible, he applies a certain appropriate justice. And that's why P.T. Barnum has to juggle that ball on his nose. And why Enoch Powell's in that reggae band.
Satan has not devised any punishment for me.
No. Well, he obviously regards you as something of a special case.
You are feeling threatened. It's a predictable reaction when confronted by a superior life form, though, of course, to you, the expression superior life form is something of a tautology.
I don't think that's funny.
You would if you understood it.
So, let me get this straight. Your brother is a member of this same movement, and he too has been selected by the great leader to go on a suicide bombing next month.
It is all my fault. I introduced my little brother to the movement. He is only 18. His blood will be on my hands. Please, somebody must warn him that it will all be for nothing. Please!
Oh, no, here come the waterworks again. Why have you got that funny look on your face?
I was thinking that you could warn his brother.
Warn his brother?
Yeah.
Are you seriously asking me to turn away a customer? Besides, bro, if his brother's stupid enough to labour under some ridiculous delusion, then he deserves whatever he gets.
Oh, well, I agree with you there.
You do?
Oh, yes. For instance, if, say, you know, a long, long time ago, some angel was, say, stupid enough to delude himself into thinking he could challenge the power of the Almighty, and then tried to organise a rebellion or something, he'd deserve whatever he got, wouldn't he?
Look, I couldn't help this poor misguided sap, even if I wanted to.
Why ever not?
Because I don't have the luxury of a choice. That's why not. We all have our role in the scheme of things. I've been designated with the role of devil. My claws are tied.
Is that really true? Or are you just opting for your delusion of choice?
Don't get tricksy with me.
Well, you're operating a bit of a double standard, aren't you? One thing is to be punished for not having the sense to realise he could choose, but you won't exercise that freedom yourself.
Professor, smoke is coming out of his nostrils.
Are you scared to try to change, is that it?
I think you should stop. His face is going black.
Is the mighty Satan really a great wussy?
When he roars like the wind and fires off in a massive explosion like that, is that good?
No, in general, that's not good.
Who's in this pit here?
Ah, that's recently opened. It's for advertising copywriters, design consultants, and food critics.
And what form does their torment take?
Oh, we just get them to do some work. Look, Elmer! How am I supposed to skewer you if you keep wriggling? I've missed your anal canal twice now.
Spare me!
I'm trying to.
No, spare me, not spear me.
When I take on my administrative responsibilities, I shall create intelligent, efficient machines to dispense these torments.
But what would I do?
Have you considered modelling? Got you again, goat ass. Why have you stopped impaling that mortal?
Well, I just realized there's one more pit I haven't shown you. It's this big one, over here.
My senses cannot detect the bottom of this pit.
That's because it hasn't got one. It's an infinite abyss. We only use it very occasionally, for special cases. The last person to be condemned to eternal free fall was Robert Maxwell. Mind you, he did get wedged at one point.
You should rope it off.
Well, let's get a bit closer, shall we? Then your senses can scan it more efficiently.
Miss Frobisher?
Yes?
There's something I've been meaning to ask you. Why on earth did you, you know, love me?
I don't know. I suppose because behind all your bluster and arrogance and selfishness and ruthlessness and corruption and depravity and evil and disgustingness, behind all of that, I thought I saw a frightened, lost little boy.
You are so perceptive, Miss Frobisher. You're the only person who's ever spotted my little boy. I'm sorry I got you convicted of fraud and drove you to suicide. That was wrong of me. I accept that without qualification.
Thank you.
Funny, I've never apologized before. I come out in a sweat. Do you think Satan plans to keep you here with me permanently?
Oh, I've no idea. Why?
Well, I was just wondering whether if you could learn to love me again.
It's sweet of you to wonder, but it just wouldn't work out between us. We're both different people now. For a start, we're both dead. That's bound to have affected us. But there's one even more telling factor. You see, I couldn't fall in love with you all over again for the very simple, compelling reason that I'm not a moron with ketchup for brains.
Okay. Fair enough, just checking.
I'm just sorry to disappoint you.
No, please, don't worry. It's difficult to disappoint a man with scorpions in his underpants.
Why did I follow so blindly? Answer me that.
It was probably fear, I expect.
Fear of what?
Uncertainty. We're all afraid of uncertainty, aren't we? So we look for reassuring patterns. No, they have to turn their theories into beliefs.
So what's the difference between a theory and a belief?
Oh, that's simple. You're allowed to kill someone for a belief. After all, if you're clinging desperately to your certainty, you can't have other people going round flaunting theirs, can you? Hmm? No, that's far too undermining. But once they're gone, and yours is the only certainty left, well, then it must be right. Ipso facto.
You know, I think women threaten the great leader's sense of certainty. I think that's why he insists they are always covered up.
What, with a shada?
No, with huge ground sheets. He can cover 20 women with one ground sheet. Funny bloke, really. I don't suppose my brother will see through him. My brother's not very bright. And that's by my standards. Oh, the evil one returns. And his face is no longer black.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my name. Ba, ba, ba. Oh, it's true. I do have all the best genes. Professor, how are you, me old mucker?
Well, you're in a good mood.
Yes, well, I've just had a very enjoyable and successful session sowing discord in the world of men. I went to 10 Downing Street, waited till Tony Blair was fast asleep, and then kept whispering, "You are the one true God," in his ear. I've been doing that for a while now. Seems to be working. Oh, and I corrupted Wazim's brother.
What?
I corrupted Wazim's brother.
How did you corrupt him?
Oh, I got this prostitute to drag him off to a motel where she introduced him to the world of Rumpy Pumpy. Unfortunately, the great leader somehow got to hear about it and burst in on them with a whole gang of followers.
And what did the great leader say?
Well, he wasn't happy, I can tell you that. Oh, no, he pointed a shaky finger at your brother and told him he was now impure, no longer fit to be a warrior of the one true religion, and he was banished from the movement forthwith. Then he pointed at the woman, turned to his followers and said something about a ground sheet. I don't know.
And how did Wazim's brother react to all this?
Jumped out the window and legged it. Last seen crossing the border with his boxer shorts around his ankles.
He's saved! Saved! My little brother has been saved by Satan. Oh, thank you. Thank you. May I kiss you?
I wouldn't advise it. Not unless you're fond of boils.
And I'm saying thank you.
Well, for what?
Well, for having the guts to do something different. Something nice.
No. Let's get this straight right now.
But what you did was...
No, what I did was I corrupted an innocent young man by introducing him to the ways of the flesh. Lots of different ways, in fact. As a result, his faith is now destroyed, he's been banished, and will forever be a broken man. So clearly, I did not, repeat not, do something nice. And anyone who repeats that slander...
My prince, something tragic has happened.
Where's my new assistant?
He's falling, Your Majesty.
Falling?
Yes. He's plummeting down the eternal abyss.
Oh, no, we must get that roped off. How did he fall down it?
I cannot tell a lie, my liege. I am responsible for his descent into oblivion. You see, we were standing together admiring the abyss quite close to the edge, and I was feeling a bit stressed, and I suppose that was affecting my thought processes, and before I knew it, Elmer had pushed him in.
What, the Reverend Elmer Butt? Why would Elmer do such a thing?
Who can say? I knew how angry you would be with him for disposing of your marvellous new assistant, and I'm afraid I shared your rage to such an extent that I hurled Elmer down the abyss after him.
That's a shame. A bit premature, perhaps.
Yes, I know, my lord. I'm sorry. But then I'm such a silly, headstrong, emotional twit. So, that's what comes with having the IQ of an aubergine.
I think I might have underestimated you, Scumspawn.
Oh, I doubt it. Beacon of my existence.
You know when you were having Wazim's brother corrupted lots of ways with the prostitute?
Yes.
Well, how did the great leader get to hear about it?
Well, search me. Perhaps the sex was very noisy. I don't know.
You're scared again, aren't you?
I am not.
You are. Why can't you just admit you did something decent?
That's what you want to believe, isn't it, Prof? It's your delusion of choice. Well, I'm sorry. I really cannot allow you to disseminate any notion that I've gone soft. You forced me to take measures. Thomas, now, how's it been going with Miss Frobisher?
Oh, fine. I was thinking, you know, if you're pushed for accommodation, you know, she could continue to stay with me if you like.
Good Lord, now, the woman's suffered enough. Yeah, even I'm not that cruel. No, now, Thomas, I've got a bit of a problem. You see, recent developments dictate that I have to make an example of somebody.
Oh, no.
Yep. Right, so, tell me, Thomas, are you a big fan of origami?
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, with Philip Pope, Nick Revel, and Felicity Montague. Old Harry's Game was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.